Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about what truth is and why it must be demonstrated to be known. Listen as we explain the idea of one perfect divine being as the truth and the only truth. In this show, we will discuss some ways to determine the false from the real and how to avoid the pitfalls of sin or avidya, which is when we are merely thinking we are in truth. Body by Mary Baker Eddy. For this teaching deals only with the changing conditions of the personal mentality and not with the changeless state of being, the changeless mind, the omnipresence. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and know the truth as freedom. So I see the title of today's show is Defining Nothing But the Truth. Let's break that title down for our listeners.
Yet a zero in on truth, because truth is another one of those words that can mean anything to anybody. In this model, there's only one truth, and everything else is a sin, which was misses the mark. It's untrue. And the truth is only one life, only one being, which is absolute goodness. And to start by substantiating why we've come to this realization is, I have a reading here from the Isha Upanishad. I'll read it. The self is one, unmoving. It moves swifter than thought. The senses do not overtake it, for always it goes before. Remaining still, it outstrips all that run. Without the self, there is no life. To the ignorant, the self appears to move, yet it moves not. From the ignorant, it is far distant, yet it is near. It is within all, and it is without all. He who sees all beings in the self, and the self in all beings, hates none. To the illumined soul, the self is all. For him who sees everywhere oneness, how can there be delusion or grief? The self is everywhere, bright is he, bodiless, without scar of imperfection. Without bone, without flesh, pure, untouched by evil. The seer, the thinker, the one who is above all the self-existent. He it is that has established perfect order among objects and beings from beginningless time. End of quote. And this is just a small portion of the Isha Upanishad, which we read every Sunday when we do mantra, translated by Swami Prabhavananda.
Swami, I've been listening to this particular Isha Upanishad for years now, and it's interesting, your first few lines that you said, and I'll say the quote, the senses do not overtake it, for always it goes before. What's interesting is we've been talking a lot about senses recently, not just our mortal sense, but spiritual senses. Can you put that in relationship to what we've been talking about recently?
To try and unbox a question like that, you really have to understand the self is one. And what is perceiving in our material senses is a divided consciousness, its duality. And so there are two very different streams of what we will call life at this point. There is the one perfect divine spiritual life stream that is whole, complete, and fulfilled. And then there is the mental material concept about it, the thought about the divine creation. And so when it says here, the senses do not overtake it, it's really saying the material sense concept does not affect the spiritual truth of being, the divine creation, which is the truth of being. And that's what this show is really about, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. because when we're living out from the testimony of the material senses, we're in the lie, we're in the false sense of existence. And that's why we have problems. That's why we're dealing with these imperfections. They are all part of the mental material concept.
So the last part of that sentence was, for always it goes before. Are we talking about the divine self here?
Yeah, the self, the spirit, the divine creation is first and foremost. That is all that's here. Remaining still, it outstrips all that run. What Mary Baker Eddy said in the opening, the changeless state of being, changeless mind. Now, the changing conditions of a personal mentality are in duality. They're in the false sense of existence. And so these give us the comprehensive clues that we're looking for in being able to differentiate between the divine idea and human mental thoughts about it. And the characteristics that appear in our material senses give us these clues.
Swami, the next line that you recited was, to the ignorant, the self appears to move, yet it moves not. So my first question is, the word ignorant, we're just referring to someone maybe who isn't aware of this divine creation?
Yeah, and I think in a similar way, the Bible uses the term sinner, someone who lives in sin. We're living out from the testimony of the material senses, and we are unconscious to the presence of divine truth, the divine creation. And the language that they use here is, from the ignorant, it is far distant, yet it is near. The concept of spiritual truth is everywhere and in everything, but it is not reporting in our material sense mind. In the corporeal senses, it appears as nothing. And then it says, it is within all and it is without all. He who sees all beings in the self and the self in all beings hates none. Now, the whole thing of seeing, once we are seeing with our spiritual senses and we are conscious of the divine truth, which is whole, complete, and fulfilled right here and right now, then we are no longer seeing with these material senses, which is preoccupied and getting its information from the false human mental material concept.
So that phrase, he who sees all beings in the self and the self in all beings, kind of reminds me of the definition of namaste.
Yeah, namaste means I bow to the divinity within. We are all equally spiritual, but we are not all equally sensitive or conscious for this divine truth. But because what is appearing in our senses is our thought about what we are conscious of, by being conscious of the divine creation, the mental image becomes more harmonious and indestructible as our conscious awareness becomes more influenced by this spiritual truth.
Well, what you were just saying brings us right to that next line of the Isha Upanishad that you recited, to the illumined soul, the self is all. Could it be you're talking about these levels of consciousness, so unless you have this illumined soul, you can't realize that the self is all?
Exactly. We cannot perceive the divine creation with the corporeal sense mind. In order for us to be conscious of the divine creation, we must see it with our spiritual senses. So we stop thinking with our material senses, and then we begin to know in our spiritual senses. This is the difference between being in ignorance or darkness of the truth or being the illumined soul.
So for him who sees everywhere oneness, how can there be delusion or grief? Now, is that because when you're at this illumined state, you don't recognize this duality of delusion or happiness or grief and that kind of discord? Is that right?
Right. The material senses work on contrast. They see the divided consciousness. They see that which is separate from the divine creation. But as we become more enlightened, as we graduate from thinking with our material senses and knowing with our spiritual senses, then we see this truth. We see the divine creation. And in this conscious awareness of the divine truth, of the one perfect divine life, there is no suffering, sickness, disease, lack, or limitation. Life is whole, it's unchanging, it's perfect, and it's functioning right here and right now. It is our responsibility to graduate from thinking with the material senses and begin to know with our spiritual senses.
So before I go on to the next line of the Isha Upanishad, the writings of this has the word self as a capital S. Could we take that word self and replace it with the word divine or even the word God?
Yeah, I think that's exactly why they capitalize it. We want to make a distinction between spirit and matter, between thoughts and ideas, because they're two very different streams of life. And the more we're able to differentiate and distinguish between them, then the easier it is for us to make that transition. And what Mary Baker Eddy called that was educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. There's a whole different mode of existence, the rational, which is what appears in the material senses, operates on contrast. It's dualistic, but spirit is the absolute. It's whole. It works in the absolute. So even, say, for example, as we come out of thinking and begin to know, we're really coming out of the material creation, which is made of time, space, concept, belief, thinking, human will, and personal sense. Now, as you come out of something as simple as time, to material sense, there's now and then. But to spirit, everything is now. So in other words, to spirit, to divine truth, 5,000 years ago is now. 5,000 years from now is now. But to us, we think in a three-dimensional linear reality that can't perceive the absolute. And so we really have to change how we're thinking. We have to graduate from the mind that can't bring forth the divine image and then begin to think with our soul, to think with our spiritual senses.
So which brings you to that next line where it says the self is everywhere. So we could say God is everywhere. And then what we've been talking about, what I work with every day, is God is all.
Right. And then I think as we start to graduate with this, we have to understand that God is all and all is absolute goodness. That's what I really think the work of Mary Baker Eddy focused on, because that's the message of the Christ. All is good. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And being conscious of that divine truth heals the sick, reforms sinner, raises the dead.
Or we sow to the flesh and believe in two powers,
which is not under the government of divine law. It is not under the jurisdiction of the divine creation. It is a false sense of existence. It is driven by belief. And that human mental concept that is imperfect is not real in this model. But if you're conscious of the truth and you are a faithful witness to that truth, then consciousness is experience. That will begin to change what seems to be appearing in your material senses, which is just a mental image. It is a thought about it. But to be in truth will correct your thought, and then it will externalize as what appears to be healing or this change or this miracle.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I'd like to continue talking about the Isha Upanishad. And the next line I'd like to talk about is, after the self is everywhere, bright is he, bodiless, without scar of imperfection. And what's interesting is, after reciting this for years and years, I changed one of those words, and I changed the word of to or. So I've been saying for years, without scar or imperfection. So now that I see it as of imperfection, it really has a big change in the meaning.
I really think this is the Isha Upanishad's way of saying we are spirit. Bright is he, meaning that there is no darkness. We are only the light of life and bodiless. And then, of course, without scar of imperfection, without bone, without flesh, pure, untouched by evil. Evil, again, is another archery term. Evil meant anything that wasn't the mark, anything that wasn't the truth. And the truth is, there's only one life, and it's perfect. And we're also learning that it is our responsibility to accept ourselves as spirit, to know ourselves in the way that we are known by this one perfect divine creator. In doing that, we have to put off the belief we are not spirit. And the minute we accept material or mental identity, we are out of this truth. We are not conscious of the one perfect divine life. And the difference between scar of imperfection and then scar or imperfection, for me, it eliminates the idea of having a perfect physical body. The physical body itself is an imperfection. You can't experience wholeness on the physical level. That's why we had the term transform. And when we try and complete ourselves in or at the level of duality, it's impossible. And that's the confinement, limitation, and frustration most of us experience, trying to do it in a physical body.
So the last line we have, the seer, the thinker, the one who is above all the self-existent, he it is that has established perfect order among objects and beings from beginningless time. And here again, I think we're talking about this omnipresent divine self.
Yeah, I think this is the Isha Upanishad's way of explaining the perfection of the perfect divine creation. I've always noticed Mary Baker Eddy does use the term self-existent. And apart from the Isha Upanishad, I had never seen it anywhere else used before. And so I wonder if she had any exposure to this work at some point in her life.
So I like the phrase, beginningless time. So to me, it's interesting, as we've been talking a lot about time. What are your thoughts?
As we start changing how we're thinking, as we move from our material senses where there's now and then, there's here and there, we can start to perceive things from a spiritual sense, like they say, beginningless time. This is a description of the concept of time. For in spirit, there's only the eternal now, and everywhere is here.
That's such a foreign idea for us to get our material sense mind around, that we really have to start to educate our thought up to this idea by having a proper sense of the infinite, so that we can finally graduate from thinking with our material senses and knowing with our spiritual senses, and then being able to know the difference, because that's avidya, that's ignorance, that's the sin. When we think we're spiritual, and yet at the same time we're working with the same mind that is creating the false sense of existence.
So we've been talking a lot about what truth is, but why do you think it must be demonstrated to be known?
Because it's very easy to think that you know truth. You're thinking with the mind that thinks it knows truth, but by the same token, it's not proving the presence of the divine creation. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. Unless we are able to live above corporeal sense and correct it, chances are we do not know ourselves in the way that we are known by the Creator. We are still working with a concept or a belief, or we're working with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And so we have to continue until we know what we are calling truth is the one true truth. Like John said in 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And this freedom that he's talking about is freedom from the belief we are not perfect. We are not an eternal spiritual being made in the image and likeness of the perfect divine creative principle.
So you've been explaining throughout the show the idea of this one perfect divine being as the truth and the only truth. Now, is it the only truth because there can't be two, there can't be God and man, there can only be God?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that. One means one, not one and. I and the Father are one. There is only one life, and it is perfect, eternal, whole, unchanging. If you don't start with that as your principle, you'll find pretty quickly what you're doing will not prove out. It won't work. It's like trying to build a house by putting the shingles up first. If you don't start with the foundation and put your framing in and the rest of everything else that's going to hold up the shingles, you're going to have a hard time keeping those shingles in the air. And without the truth, without working with this principle in the foreground of your consciousness, you'll find what you're doing will render itself to be false. It won't work. It won't have any power.
So help us out here. How can we have some ways to determine that we are in the false or if we're from the real?
I have something here from Unity of Good by Mary Baker Eddy, and I'll read it. A lie has only one chance of successful deception, to be accounted true. Evil seeks to fasten all error upon God, and so make the lie seem part of the eternal truth. That's the end of her quote. Now, in Kriya Yoga, we use avidya or ignorance to explain the same thing, by mistaking the impermanent for the permanent, false for the real, error for the truth. Von Goethe said, "None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free." End of quote. And then, like we said before, John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." End of quote. Yeah, so all the good, beautiful, and true attributes, the fruits of the Spirit, peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance, that are unchanging, permanent. These are the true divine principles. This is divine truth made visible. Everything else is what they call a sin. It misses the mark. And so as we start to shift our awareness from the material senses, which is bringing forth the imperfection of human conjecture, and we start to focus on the invisible, intangible, spiritual principle, then it changes our thought. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said in Science and Health. It resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the divine idea. This is how we begin to graduate from believing in the divine creative principle into developing faith and then eventually understanding, which begins to demonstrate the presence, the protection, the power, and the perfection of the divine creative principle functioning right here and right now.
Swami, so what are some of your best practices that you use to avoid the pitfalls of sin or avidya?
Well, I really try and focus on the yamas in Kriya Yoga. Yama means control. And I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said about standing porter at the door of your thought. You are watching, conscious of what is appearing in your mind. For me now, I'm starting to understand that I have divine mind. It only knows divine truth. And when a human thought, person, place, or thing comes into my awareness, I know it didn't come from divine mind. And so I treat it differently. I treat it now as an intruder or an imposter because I know it isn't the truth. And this was the practice in Kriya Yoga, detachment. But by the same token, you can't just detach, release, and let God. Like John said, you must know the truth. You must attach yourself to the divine creation, the divine creative principle. But when you are not reacting to the testimony that's coming through your material senses, and you have that ability to control your thought, then you can hold your awareness on the divine creation. And by being a faithful witness to the invisible, intangible, divine omnipotence, then it will begin to illuminate. It will correct your thought. It will reveal itself to you. The way that you know it is revealing itself to you is by the changes it has on what is appearing in your material sense mind. Your five material senses become the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. Because for me to mouth words or memorize some of these statements is not being conscious of the divine truth. And so I know that I can't be conscious of divine truth and be experiencing the imperfections of human thought and the material mental recreation.
Swami, the quote by Mary Baker Eddy in our summary, "For this teaching deals only with the changing conditions of the personal mentality and not with the changeless state of being." What teaching is she referring to specifically?
Yeah, in that paper, The Body, she starts out and she's talking about how people started to discover the power of positive thinking. And then she also says that, of course, this is a great advance over the old drug system, but it doesn't go far enough to satisfy those who wish to know the truth and nothing but the truth. And then she says, it's better than the old way, but it's a hard way. And it's a way of constant battle between good and evil, of hard work and doubtful results because it deals with two powers instead of one. And that's what we're aspiring to do, is become conscious of this one self-existent, perfect, divine life right here and right now.
Well, we're going to stop right here. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the Fading Banner Blog Talk Radio. Clicking that directs you to its catalog page. Clicking the products tab, online classes, directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. Any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and know the truth as freedom. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our show, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.